And for our Old Testament scripture reading, if you will turn in your Bibles to chapter 18 of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we'll begin reading in verse 41 through verse 46. And then also, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 26 and put your finger there, we'll get to that as well. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 41. Hear now the word of God. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, go up, say to Ahab, "Prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now in the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. And we'll begin reading in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you, and we thank you, Lord, for these two accounts of prayers, the prayers of Elijah and the prayers of our Lord Jesus. And here in our text this morning, we are called to pray, and we're doing so right now as a congregation. And so we do come to you, humble ourselves, and acknowledge that all things come from you, and that you command us to ask of you, to seek you, to knock, and you promise to give that which glorifies you and is good for us. And so we ask, O Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, by your spirit, from heaven, and that you would grant unto us not only to hear these words, but that we would hear with the ability to put them into practice daily, to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. So we ask, O Lord, for your grace, blessing, and help. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we just read Jesus' prayer while he was in the garden. Right? Familiar with that? We're getting ready to enter into the Easter season, and there we find Jesus praying. The way that I like to describe that prayer was it was warfare prayer. Was he being tempted? In the words that he speaks, is there a cry, Lord, any other way? I'm facing the cross. I'm facing your wrath. Is there any other way? And the answer is, there's no other way. He had to go through what he went through for you and me. But he prayed that prayer. Is that the only time Jesus prayed? Was he constantly in prayer? Did he pray when significant events in his life occurred? And the answer is yes. Let's just be reminded of a few of them. If you turn with me in Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, Jesus comes to John the Baptist to be baptized. And in verse 31, it says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. Did you ever know that? When Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God, and God the Father declared his pleasure on the Son, it was in answer to Jesus' prayer. Significant event. Here is where the Christ was christened, or the Messiah was Mashiach, anointed. He himself will say later, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. But yet at that significant event, what's the context? He prayed. Again, Luke chapter 6, and in verse 12. When Jesus was deciding who is going to follow him, when he chose his 12 disciples, we read Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Have you ever done that? Have you ever in your life prayed all night? Anybody here? I don't think anybody here. There's Jesus praying all night. Why? Was it because he was about to choose his disciples, his apostles? The answer is yes, at least that's what the text says. We read in the garden his prayer, and then the writer to the Hebrews describes the culmination of his prayer in what we read earlier before the worship service in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him, was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. You ever picture Jesus praying and weeping in prayer? Or as it's recorded in the garden, his sweat was like drops of blood. The intensity of his prayers. Do we need that prayer warrior praying for us? Do you need that prayer warrior praying for you? And the answer is yes, we do. And so Paul will say in our text that we are called To what? To pray. To pray warfare prayers. The context, and well, let's look at our text in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. After he goes through taking up the whole armor of God, he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So notice here, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we're called to pray always. How do you do that? How do you pray while you're working? How do you pray while you're driving? And don't pray with your eyes closed, please. It's okay to pray with your eyes open while driving. How do you do that? What is it that he's talking about? He's talking about warfare prayer. The context is warfare. Stand, stand, stand against the wiles of the devil. Having done all to stand, how? Put on the whole armor of God and pray. And watch. Be on guard. You're at war. We need constant communication with headquarters. One of the things, and at the beginning of the war between Russia and Ukraine, one of the things that helped the Ukrainians was Starlink. You read about that. They were able to communicate. The Russians were jamming all of their communications, except they couldn't jam the Starlink. And that helped David defeat, or at least stop Goliath from destroying them. Communications. Is communications important for you in your warfare, your daily wrestling against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers? Yes, prayer is essential. And so my main point is there in the bulletin. God demonstrates his own love towards us, even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and our victorious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the captain of our salvation, commands us not only to stand our ground, one at the cross, equipped with God's armor, he further commands us to wage a good warfare through watchful, persevering prayer. Does that describe you? Are you a man of prayer? Are you a woman of prayer? Are you a child of prayer? That which was won, access. Writer Hebrews says we can come boldly into the Holy of Holies. The high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and that with blood. But we, the veil has been rent, and we can boldly come into the Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you avail yourself of that privilege and necessity? So, Paul says, praying always. So I have a question there. How often is always? How often is always? Always. Does that mean when you're going to the bathroom? Does that mean when you're eating? Does that mean when you're going to sleep? Does that mean when you wake up? What's the first thing that you say when you wake up? Oh, it's morning. Oh, the sun's up. Oh, I'm late. Always. Praying always. All the time. Instant in prayer. We've talked about the picket fence prayers. For those of you that know, what you know what I'm talking about, right? You've seen a picket fence. For those of you that haven't, have you seen a picket fence before? You know what a picket fence is? Yes? No? No? So a picket fence has a post, has another post, has another post. It has two rails that run across between posts, and then it has little pickets, little, one by three inch little pickets that run all the way across. You know what I'm talking about, a picket fence, right? Well, we're called to pray picket fence prayers. What does that mean? We start off the morning and there's the post. Good morning, Jesus. Thank you for another day. Devotions, however that is. As you're running out the door because you're late for work or whatever, but you're still talking, right? You set the post. And at the end of the day, you set the post. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Forgive me my sins or whatever. Boom. Well, during the time throughout the day, we're called to just shoot up little pickets prayers. What's the shortest prayer in the Bible? Help, Lord. That's a picket prayer. Do you need help during the day with what you're working on? Well, I have this. I've done this 1,000 times. Oops. I need prayer. Praying always. Instant in prayer. Having that communication with the Lord all day long. And if it's okay if people think you're crazy because you're talking to the Lord while you're walking around. As long as it's the Lord, not yourself. Well, I do it to myself a lot too. How often? Always. How? Does Paul say in verse 18, does he give us how? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Verse 10, he says earlier, chapter 6, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power or the sovereignty of his might. Praying in his strength. Remember that the key to chapter 6 is chapter 5, verse 18. Do not be under the controlling influence of wine or anything else, but in which is dissipation, but be under the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to stand in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. When we read of Elijah, was it Elijah's righteousness that enabled him to pray and then the rain came after 3.5 years of drought? No, it was God who brought it, but God commanded him to pray. And he prayed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, James writes. Pray for the strength to pray. Look to Him. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision of the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, the desires thereof. Praying always. That's what Paul is saying. We're at war. We have the armor, which is Jesus Christ, but then he says what? What are you supposed to do? Talk to God. Keep the communication channels open. Help, Lord. I'm being tempted. I was tempted to ask you the question at the beginning of the sermon is how you're doing in your spiritual warfare. Are you aware of it? We talked about that. Have you put on the armor of God this week? Have you forgot the sermon? The past two sermons. If I were to stand you up right now and say, okay, tell me the 6 pieces of armor, could you do it or would you be embarrassed? Could you do it? Loins girded about with truth. Help me. Breastplate of. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And now prayer. That's the armor. Exhortation. Go back, read the passage, practice it. Do you do that? Do you ever put the armor on? Do you ever consciously stop and say, okay, I need to put it on? Sometimes I put it on 3 or 4 times in a few minutes when I'm under attack. Okay, practice it, just like practicing the piano, just like practicing running, wrestling, working, teaching. Practice it. Put on the whole armor of God. And one of those armor is prayer and petition. What is prayer? Prayer is communion, communication with the living God. It is based on our relationship in Christ. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And it is an action. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's submission to the Lord's will. Isn't that part of every prayer? Lord, you're the Lord, I am not. Your kingdom come, your will be done in this situation that I'm dealing with as well as in heaven. Right? Praying always. Prayer, petition. What a privilege. Again, stop and think about it. The reason we are heard is because of what Jesus had to go through. His sufferings and death purchased the access where we can boldly come into the throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. It cost him. It is grace to us, but it cost him everything, his life. Do you say thank you by praying? You ever think of it that way? By actually accessing what he gave you, the grace, the access. Praying, stand and pray, the main verb. Secondly, notice in our verse, it says, praying always and being watchful with perseverance. What is he describing there? He's talking about a sentry on duty. Okay? You're in the army. It's night, all the other soldiers are asleep, and you've been assigned sentry duty. Can you sleep while you're on watch? You get in big trouble with the commander if you fall asleep. But even more so, if the enemy attacks and you're asleep, you can die, and so can your fellow soldiers. We're called to watch. We are called to stand. Watch. Watch with perseverance. We are called, and it's related to prayer, isn't it? Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says this, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're called to steadfast prayer. Steadfast watching. Being aware of the warfare. How are you doing on that, by the way? Have you become more aware of the warfare that is going, the spiritual warfare that's going around you? Huh? Have you become more aware of that? Should I pray for you for homework? I'm joking a little bit. Has God given you homework the past few weeks? He hasn't? Well, I don't know. I shouldn't pray, but this is dangerous stuff. We're at war. Watching with perseverance. Watching to continue to do something with intense effort despite difficulty. Persevering. Devoted to persevering prayer. What did Paul say earlier that we're called to do? Wrestle. Verse 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts in wickedness of heavenly places. Is that an impossible task? To wrestle against someone who you can't see? that has power, that has authority even. Jude writes that Michael the archangel does not bring railing accusation against Satan, but just simply rebukes him. Are we aware? Are we called to be wrestlers? And the answer is yes. One of the best illustrations of that wrestling was Jacob. Many years ago, there was a preacher named Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon was preaching on Romans chapter 9. And while he was preaching, he hit the passage that said, Jacob I've loved and Esau I hated. And after the sermon, a woman came up to him and said, I really have a hard time with that passage. And Spurgeon said, so do I. What do you have a hard time about? And she said, I don't understand how God could hate Esau. And Spurgeon said, oh, that one's easy. We're all sinners. What I don't understand is how he could love that rascal Jacob. That trickster. His name means trickster. Heel grabber. He stole the birthright from his brother. He stole the blessing from his brother. He faked out his dad. He was a supplanter. And yet something happened to Jacob. Chapter 32 of Genesis, verse 21. His brother Esau is coming to him with hundreds of soldiers. He hasn't seen him for years. The last thing that his brother said, if I get a hold of you, Jacob, I'm going to kill you. And now, guess what? Esau is coming with hundreds of soldiers. And Jacob's by himself, outnumbered. And in the text, we read in verse 22, and Jacob arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him, and he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, or the Prince of God, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed them there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen the face of God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Jacob wrestled with the Lord in prayer. And he walked away, or I should say he limped away from it the rest of his life. Persevered throughout the night in prayer. And his name was changed. His identity became Israel. He's no longer a trickster, but prince with God. In the midst of that prayer, God calls you and I to wrestle. God calls you and I to wrestle and persevere in prayer. As a matter of fact, isn't that one of the hallmarks of being Reformed, is we believe in the perseverance of the saints? Which I really like to call it the perseverance of God for the saints. But what about prayer? Is prayer the identity of the Reformed Church? Are we known in the Christian community as men and women of prayer? Is that our identity? Do we persevere in prayer? Are we a persevering praying church? If not, let's change it. All right, third point. Paul goes on to say who we're to pray for. Verse 18, very end. For all the saints and for me. So who are we to pray for? The combatants at war. For all the saints. All the general soldiers. Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ? If you believe in Jesus, you're in his army. He's the Lord of the army, the Lord of hosts. The word host means army. Are you part of the army of God? If you're not, then what are you? If you're not in Christ's army, where are you? You're in Satan's army. There's no middle ground. Jesus says you're either for me or against me. Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ? I didn't ask if you're a good soldier. I just asked whether you're a soldier. If you're a saint, you're a soldier. You're a soldier in one army or the other if you're not. So who are we to pray for? Our fellow soldiers. All the saints. Do you do so? Do you spend any time in prayer for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you? At least some kind of prayer each day? Lord, be with the church. Lord, be with my brothers and sisters who are facing death in Africa, in Asia, in the Middle East, to name in the name of Christ. They're dying today. There will be brothers and sisters killed for the name of Christ today. Are we aware of that? For whom? For all the saints, and he says, and for me, God's ministers. Do you know that pastors are a special target? We joke about it when a man is examined to be a minister. When the exam, if he passes his exam, we jokingly say, oh, by the way, we're going to give you a t-shirt with a target on it. Welcome to the ministry. But we all have that target on us because the devil hates us, that wants to destroy us. But how much more the minister of the gospel? Notice what he says. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So where is Paul? Paul's in prison. Paul's chained. And he says, pray for me that I can speak boldly. Now, can you imagine that? The Apostle Paul has to ask for prayer to be bold in speech. I don't know about you, but my understanding, my study of Paul, he's not a wallflower. He's not afraid to open his mouth and speak, is he? Is that your impression of the Apostle Paul? He was a bold man. He spoke. But what does he say here? Pray for me. I'm in chains that I may be bold. That I may boldly speak. That I may open my mouth. How about you? Are you ever afraid to open your mouth and speak the truth? In a setting? This is a temptation we all face. Pray for me. Pray for the soldiers. Pray for the leadership. Pray against the world, the flesh, and the devil, Paul says. We're at war. So to summarize, Paul has been using the language of warfare to describe our following Jesus. He called us to walk and follow Jesus, and part of that walk has to do with standing in the strength of the Lord and to war a good warfare. And part of that warfare, part of that hand-to-hand combat is through prayer. Are you a man of prayer? Are you a woman of prayer? Are you a child of prayer? Does prayer mark your life? Again, it doesn't have to be this hour-long It doesn't have to be Reverend Willis, who spent 8 hours a day praying. It can be simply, help Lord. That's a prayer. But it is that part of the habit? Is it your habit, like breathing? Do you think about your breathing, or do you just breathe? Do you think about Jesus? Do you talk to him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for this exhortation that we are called to trust you, to walk following you, and part of that is to stand in the grace that you give us, the armor of God that you give us. You've given us an identity as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the captain of our salvation, and you lead forward, and we are called to follow our captain in the battles of the world, the flesh, and the devil each day. We pray that you would take this sermon and that we wouldn't forget it and we would take it home and do it, that we would hear the exhortation. Help us, Lord, to pray always for all the saints, watchful in prayer with perseverance. Grant unto us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name.